Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody before you're seated. Welcome them again into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. My wife reminded me I just had everybody shake hands. That's okay. It won't hurt you to shake hands more than once. Find somebody. That's right. Find somebody different to shake hands with. So sometimes, you know, we're creatures of habit. And sometimes we come to church and we sit in the same place. And so whenever the preacher says turn around and shake hands with somebody, if we're always sitting in the same place, we're probably going to be shaking hands with the same people over and over again. So it doesn't hurt you to get out of your comfort zone and shake hands with somebody else every now and then and make a little bit of a change. But the Apostle Paul defines in our scripture text, he defines for us three components, and he talks about knowing him. In our relationship with Jesus, he talks about knowing him, experiencing his power through the power of his resurrection, and then fellowship with him, the fellowship of his suffering. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I want to talk first of all about this thing about knowing him, because it's a reality that throughout our lives we get to know people that we come in contact with. And when you truly get to know somebody, you start to learn how that person thinks. You learn what makes them tick. You learn, you basically understand them. And I've often said this in talking with young married couples, that the hardest part of any marriage is the first 5 years. Because what's happening in that first 5 years, and I've had to learn this yesterday, my wife and I celebrated 17 years of marriage, but what I had to learn was in that first 5 years, I had to learn there are certain things that you just don't talk about. Amen. Amen. And you learn, I know, Brother Ginn, I know what buttons to push. And I know what buttons I better stay away from. Amen. And so what happens is as you get to know somebody, you know what bothers them, you know what makes them happy, you know how they think, you know what makes them tick. And listen, when you truly love somebody, when you genuinely love someone, you want to know them. Amen. You want to know them. I've often preached it, and I stand behind it because I believe the Bible teaches this. I don't have time to really go into all the details right now, but loving someone, scripturally speaking, everybody, you know, Hollywood promotes the idea that love is all about a feeling. It promotes the idea that love is all about, well, I've got the butterflies in my belly and in my chest, and I feel these feelings for someone. And what that does is that promotes the idea or the notion that if the butterflies aren't there, well, then you can just move on to somebody else. And the problem with that is that's not what the Bible declares. But the Bible says, it says, husbands, love your wives. In other words, it is something that you can choose to do. It is something that you can decide to do. It is something that you can make up your mind, I'm going to do. When you love somebody with all of your heart, if it's your spouse or your intended spouse, what you're really saying is, we are starting a journey together. I want to know you, and I'm going to put the effort in to learn to know you, because I want to do everything I can to make you happy in life. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. One of the most hurtful things that we can encounter in a relationship is to discover that somebody that you thought that you knew was somebody else. Amen. Somebody, when one of the most hurtful things that you can run into is when you find out that this person that you thought that you knew ha- has a secret life. When you find out that this person that you thought that you knew has been hiding things from you that you felt like that you should have known. Amen. But because when you love somebody, you will want to share your secrets with them. Because I love my wife and I want a good relationship with her, I want to know her. I want to know how she thinks. I want to know what makes her tick. I want to know what makes her happy. I want to know what makes her sad. And my question to you today is, do you really know Jesus? Because if you really know Him, He's not just somebody that's kind of off in the shadow somewhere. But if you really, really know Him, then you want to do whatever it is that will make Him happy. And you will want to know how He thinks and what he is all about and what motivates Him. You will want to know whatever it is that pleases Him because you want to know Him and love Him. Amen. If you really know Him, Jesus said that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And He calleth them by name. Amen. And He said not only do they hear His voice, but they follow Him because they know His voice. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. Amen. I can tell you this, if you have ever in your life been in the presence of God, Brother James talked about it when he was in Mecca, and I'm preaching to you today that if you have been in the presence of God Almighty, you will know what that voice sounds like when you hear it. Amen. And once you have heard the voice from on high, nothing else is going to sound the same. Nothing else is going to satisfy. When you have been in the presence of the Spirit of God, you'll be able to say, hey, I have heard the voice of the shepherd. I know what His voice sounds like. I know what His voice is like, and I want to hear Him and follow Him. Amen. He said they will not follow the voice of a stranger. If you truly want to know Jesus, if you truly want to know Him, you'll seek Him. Jesus said in John 4:17, He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. When He speaks to you and He speaks and lives in you and speaks through you, your spirit is just going to know. Amen. I remember like old Sister Bunch, old lady in our church and way back in Mississippi used to say, she would say, listening to somebody talk or somebody worship and speak in tongues or whatever, sometimes she'd just say, it just didn't have that Jerusalem ring to it. Can you say amen? Because His sheep know what His voice is like. His sheep know what His voice sounds like. This is one of the reasons I've said it and I stand behind it. And I'll say it again. Listen, folks, I love football. I love to watch the NFL. And if I was going to come to a church that was full of dead and dry religion, I would just as soon stay home and watch football, because I know what the Holy Ghost feels like. I know what the Holy Ghost sounds like. I know what the Spirit of God is like on the inside of my heart. And when I come into the house of God, I come to feel His presence. I come to touch the throne of grace. I come to be a part of whatever God is wanting to do in that service. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, when He speaks to you, you will know. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And you see, the 120 that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, Brother Greg, these were people that were disciples of Jesus. These were people that had sat at His feet and they heard Him teach on the Sermon on the Mount. They had heard Him teach in the synagogue. They had heard Him preach time and time again. And here they were waiting for days on end in the upper room for the Holy Ghost to fall. But when they were in the upper room and the day of Pentecost was fully come, every ear heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And they didn't have to worry about whether that sound was was a sound of some demonic spirit or something, because they knew they had been in the presence of Jesus. They had heard him teach. They had heard the voice of the shepherd. They knew what it sounded like. And it said, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And suddenly, hallelujah, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. I'm telling you today that his Spirit still falls. You can still be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 2023. Hallelujah. He will speak if you ask, but only if you really want to hear. He will speak through his word. He will speak through his messengers. He will speak sometimes through his body, the church. Amen. But Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you really know him today? Do you really know him today? He said, that I may know him. Apostle Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection is not just something that we believe intellectually. It is something that empowers us. Because if he was still dead, if he was not alive, Brother Randall, none of us would have felt anything when we walked into this building. But we feel something because he is alive and because he lives. This is one of the things that the atheists, they can come up with all of their logic and all of their reasoning for trying to explain away God and trying to explain away this and trying to explain away that. The one thing that they cannot explain away is the touch of God on your life. And once God has touched you with the power of the Holy Ghost, nobody can ever argue anything different, because you have been there. You have experienced for yourself. You know the reality of what I'm talking about. Some of you have heard my testimony of how that when I went off to college years ago, went into pre-medicine, and remember sitting there in a college classroom as the professor stood and mocked God and mocked everything. It was a biology class. Mocked everything having to do with God and Jesus and everything else. And I just remember sitting there thinking to myself, my mind drifted away from what the professor was saying. And my mind drifted back to a night at a campground when God had reached down and filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. And I just thought to myself, that professor says these things because he has never experienced what I have experienced. He has never had what I have. Praise God. And so Paul talked about the power of his resurrection. I'm thankful for the written word. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here. But Paul also commands us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every single day of my life, me and you too, you're in the same boat. I'm faced with decisions and I need guidance and I need direction. I'm glad today that I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise God. Jesus said that the Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. I believe that if you truly know him, if you truly know him, you'll get up every day and you'll start every day by saying, Lord, I've got some problems that I've got to deal with today, but I know that I'm not going to go into that meeting on my own. I know that I'm not going to go by myself. I know that you're going to go with me. I need you to walk into that boardroom. I need you to walk into that meeting with me. I need your power. I need the power of his resurrection. Some people preach and teach it today that all we need, again, if there's anybody who believes in the sacredness and the power and the absolute, the inerrancy of the Word of God, you're looking at a man right here, right now. There's nothing like the written Word. But the written Word alone is not going to stop you in the middle of Walmart and say, go pray for that sister over there. What's going to do that? It's going to be the Spirit. The written word alone is not going to stop you in the middle of Circle K and say, that man that is standing outside of his car right outside the door. I'm talking about things that have actually happened. That man that is standing outside of his car right now, his wife just left him and he needs somebody to pray with him right now. Where are you going to get that from? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep are able to hear that voice. My sheep are listening for that voice. If you say you know him, if you know him like you say you do and like you think you do, every moment of every day, you're going to be listening and you're going to be saying, hey, Lord, have you got something to say to me? Have you got something to speak to me? Have you got somebody that you want me to pray with? Have you got somebody that you want me to pray for? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to deal with this? And then he said the third thing. He said, knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, fellowship means spending time with somebody. We share their experiences, their hurts, their pains, their laughs, their ups, their downs, their cries. We fellowship with Jesus through his body. Look at what he said in 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But look at the next verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light,
yes, sir,
we do what?
We have fellowship.
We have fellowship with who?
One with another.
You mean it can't be me and Jesus got our own thing going, me and Jesus got it all worked out? You mean it can't be I've got it all figured out, just me and Jesus, and I don't need the body, I don't need the church, I don't need anybody else? He said, if we walk in the light, guess what? Your brothers and sisters that are sitting in this building right now, they are the body, they are part of the body of Christ. You cannot walk in the light if you are not fellowshipping with your brothers and your sisters. Oh, hallelujah, you got quiet on me right there. Since it got quiet on me, I'll say it again. If you are walking in the light, he said you will have fellowship one with another, and you cannot have fellowship with the body of Christ by yourself. You have got to be attached to a body somewhere. You have got to have your brothers and sisters somewhere. You know why? Because the New Testament tells us to pray for one another, encourage one another, lift up one another, exhort one another, admonish one another. And you cannot do that by yourself.
Amen.
You've got to have the body of Christ. Some believe that you can know him without being part of his body, but that isn't what the Bible teaches. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If you don't have fellowship one with another, that means you're not walking in the light. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't throw no tomatoes at me. I'm just proclaiming the word of God. You cannot separate fellowship with Jesus from fellowship with his body. You know why? He didn't just fill us with the Holy Ghost just so we could sit back and enjoy it and have our own little Holy Ghost hoedown at home. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. He said, freely ye have received, freely give. He gives you his spirit. Brother Joe, he gave you his spirit for you to give it away.
That's what he said.
And guess what? Every time you give it away, whatever you give away, he fills it right back up again.
Right.
You can never run out.
Right.
Praise God. Somebody said, but I don't like people. I've dealt with folks like that before.
Sure.
I don't like people. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but he died for people. He died for people. He died for you, as ornery as you are. As aggravating as you are. Amen. And sometimes that fellowship, he said, the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes that fellowship is a fellowship of suffering. He doesn't call everybody to give up everything. But we must be willing to give up everything. This message is particularly appropriate thinking about our brothers and sisters and the persecution and the thing that they face in places like Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. I'm going to get all over all of us for just a minute. We here in America, we whine about things. We have never seen what real persecution is like. We whine about persecution here because, you know, maybe the government passed some new law that's going to affect somebody halfway across the country. But, and I'm not saying we should not be concerned with those things, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't vote our conscience and all of that. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, like the Apostle Paul said, you've not yet suffered. You've not yet suffered unto blood. You've not yet suffered unto death. We have not come close to that yet. We have been blessed by that. But I will tell you this, when the day comes, and it may be coming sooner than we think, when it does come here to the United States of America, it's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And we're going to find out who really knows Him and who is just talking a good game. Because it's going to separate those that really know Him from those that just want to be part of a club. I preached last week about taking up a cross. Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. That's not a popular message. That's not a palatable message, but it's still a true message. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done here in just a second. I'm not going to be long. But I say this, what I'm saying is, I don't say this to pat myself on the back. So please don't get this twisted. But come January, January the 8th will be my 40-year anniversary of preaching.
There you go.
And God called me when He called me. Sister Wilson, He called me to plant churches. That's what He called me to do. And during that 40 years of ministry, I have been, and please, again, don't get this twisted. I have been a full-time paid pastor for about 6 of those 40 years. The other 34 years have been working jobs, doing things, most of the time not getting any kind of a salary. Now, I'm not preaching against pastors getting paid. And if you think of that, if you shout over that, then you need to repent.
Amen.
Amen. There's some things to shout over that ain't one of them. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. Somebody might say, well, why in the world do you preach? Why would you preach for 40 years, for 34 of those 40 years without drawing a salary, without doing that? You know, they asked the Apostle Paul that. I'm not the Apostle Paul, but they asked the Apostle Paul a similar question. And Paul said, do not Barnabas and I, he said, we have the power to stop working. He said, I'm sure somebody probably said to him, Brother Curry, why don't you just settle down somewhere, Paul, instead of traveling all over the world, why don't you just settle down somewhere and just, you know, take a church and settle down and preach and draw you a nice little comfortable living? And Paul said, me and Barnabas, we've got the power to stop whenever we want.
That's right.
But you know what? He knew that that was not what God had called him to do. That was not what God... And when I talk about that and about what God has called me to do, I love you. Again, don't take this wrong. I love every one of you. But I don't do that and have not done that for 40 years. Primarily for you.
Amen. That's right. Come on.
Come on with it, brother.
I have done it because more than anything in this world, I want to know Him. And I want to please Him.
Praise the Lord. Blessing the Lord.
That's all.
That's it. That's what I want to do. Brother James and I talked a little bit about it back there in the office about how a few years ago somebody called and wanted extended an invitation to go to Pakistan. It didn't work out because of the finances and what have you. He made a casual comment about that might be able to work it out sometime. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd be scared to death. I'm just being honest. I know you're braver than I am.
Come on with it, brother. I would too, brother.
But I tell you this. I will tell you this. If I knew beyond shadow of a doubt,
yes,
that God said go.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
When God called me to preach 40 years ago, I didn't want to preach. I was in school to be a doctor, a medical doctor. But I told the Lord when I finally accepted the call, He would not leave me alone. And when I finally accepted the call, I said, I will accept it on one condition. I said, you've got to promise me that every time I get into the pulpit, that you will be there with me. And if you will preach with me every single service, if you will anoint me every single service, then I will do whatever you want me to do. Why? Because I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to please Him. And if it means the fellowship of His sufferings, then I want to be part of that too. But I want to know Jesus. Do you want to know Him today? Do you want to know Him today? Do you want to know Him today? Would you lift your hands and your voices unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll serve where you want me to serve. I don't care if it's mowing the grass. I don't care if it's cleaning the bathrooms. I don't care what it is, God. I want to be used in your kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, love the Lord right now. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now.
Yes,
Lord.
Desert, I will make the way. But all what you have to do,
yes,
forget the old things.
Yes,
I will make them new.
Yes,
says the Lord Almighty.
Yes,
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All of this, the knowing Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, results in being conformable unto His death. Paul isn't saying that we all have to die as martyrs. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, if we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what he's looking for in us. He's not calling all of us to a physical cross, but he wants us to have that kind of obedience and that kind of humility. Not I demand my rights, I want my way, but a spirit and an attitude that says, whatever you want, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Whatever it takes to conform to you. Whatever it takes to conform to you. John says, I'm closing with this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See, a lot of people were around Jesus. Brother James, a lot of them met him face to face and still didn't know him. He said they knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Once they received him, he empowered them to become the sons of God, to conform to his image. Do you really know him today? Do you think the way he thinks? Do you live the way he wants you to live? Or is your life all about you? Is it all about what pleases you? Or do you really want to do what pleases him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Could we stand on our feet today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Love you, Jesus. Lift your hands and your voices to the Lord one more time today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's seek his face. Let's seek his face. Hallelujah. 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 Love you, Jesus. I want to know him. Yeah, I want to know him. I want to know him. Do you want to know him today? The power of his resurrection. While these altars are open, is there anybody who wants to know Jesus? Anybody? Maybe you need to renew a covenant with him. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you've just had a casual relationship. Maybe you're like Brother Latif was saying, just a nominal Christian. Christian in name only. Preacher, I don't know if he will talk to me the way he does. He'll talk to you if you listen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He'll talk to you if you listen. But if you've got your mind made up that you're going to go through life doing things your own way, he will let you go your own way. But do you want to surrender to him? Do you want to completely surrender to him today? Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. As they sing something for us, is there anybody that would like to come before we call everybody around? Hallelujah.
Lord is my shepherd.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Anybody want to come? Anybody want to come?
He goes before me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Defender behind me.
Come on, church. Let's church family. Let's everybody that wants to join us. Just gather up here around the front for a few minutes. Amen. Come on and join us up here. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My cup's overflowing.
that would like to come, you're welcome to come. Praise God. Praise God.
Your peace.